It's a Mike Grimm Monday here on Kate Radio Afternoons with Aaron. And Mike, I got to ask you right off the bat, are you a rock music guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's 80s rock especially would be my wheelhouse, yes.
38 Special. They're going to be here in Albert Lea for the fair coming up on Friday.
Very good.
Does that band, do you recognize that band, 38 Special?
Again?
Okay. No, I like rock bands too. I think we grew up in that era. There's not enough rock bands around anymore.
No doubt. We need, there are, like rock and roll as we grew up with it exists. In terms of like, say like Ed Sheeran or you know, whoever else, you know, some of these popular artists, but it's not rock music like the arena rock, you know, the Bon Jovi's, the Motley Crue's, Def Leppard, that kind of stuff. I'll actually be seeing them. I may have told you this before in a previous interview, but my son and I and a friend and I and his son, we're doing a father-son trip next week. We're going to Buffalo, New York. We're going to watch Motley Crue, Poison, Def Leppard, and Joan Jett in a mega concert at the Buffalo Bills Stadium. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do because, you know, they don't make rock music now. You have to watch these old guys.
That'll be absolutely awesome. So outdoor rock music. Have you ever been to Buffalo, New York?
Years ago, I was there when I was working in St. Louis. The Rams played the Bills when the Rams were still in St. Louis. I'm going to have to say that was 2004, maybe. And of course, it was, you know, so that's a while ago now. And the Anchor Bar there, that's the place that invented the Buffalo Wing. So
that's
I
right.
went to that, thought it was fine. So we'll probably have to take the kids there. You know, maybe we'll sneak up and see Niagara Falls. There's some stuff to do. That wasn't the destination, you know, it was just we're looking at the rock schedule, the show schedule. We're like, man, in August, we want to be in Atlanta or Miami or someplace, you know, an outdoor stadium and just, you know, hotter than blazes. Now, it could be 100 degrees in Buffalo. I don't know. But we're like, let's do Buffalo. It'll be maybe cooler there in August. And my friend had not been to Buffalo before. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it. That concert does come through the cities. They play at U.S. Bank Stadium. But we thought, it would be better to go elsewhere. Sometimes the indoor concert's not as good as the stadium show outdoors.
Now, Mike, is there any pictures around that I should find of you with maybe some curly locks, you know, down past your shoulders or anything like that? Because I know it wasn't that long ago. You were just south of the border in Iowa at the casino watching Arch Allies, and they're kind of a cover group for like 80s
right.
and 90s rock and roll. So, I mean, be honest with you, or be honest with us, I should say. I mean, did you used to have the long flow at all when you were growing up?
I did, actually.
Did you?
I mean, not like a rock, you know, not a rock star flow, but I guess it would be a mullet, you know, and that was in style then. The ladies loved it, of course. So, you know, it was a long curly hair at the back for sure. No question. Now I just hope to have hair, period, you know.
Right there with you. Absolutely. It's a Mike Grimm Monday here on Kate Radio. And, Mike, let's talk about the Gopher football team because the Gophers kicked off a camp today up in the Twin Cities. And I know last week you were at a media day or media days for the Big Ten in Indianapolis. At the Big Ten media days, what were some of your takeaways? Any kind of, you know, big stories really pop out? I know the coaches all talk and players talk. Any real big takeaways from the media days in Indy?
Yeah, so I thought there were two main takeaways for the Gophers. Let's start there first. One, P.J. Fleck told us that Muhammad Ibrahim and Trey Potts, the two running backs who missed most of last year, both clear to go. Both will start practice this week, full go. And I thought it was even more interesting that he said that they got to be kind of counterintuitive with it all, in the sense that in terms of getting those guys work and making sure that they're ready for the season opener, intuitively you'd think, okay, we're going to let those guys ease back in. And he said, no, we got to actually have those guys take some hits. Like, we're going to actually say, look, you got to go break some tackles. You got to take on a shoulder collision. You got to pick up a blitz and block a linebacker so that on September 1st when the season opens, that's not the first time you're receiving contact. So I thought those were the two biggest nuggets. You know, obviously offensive line, defensive line, to me, those are the two biggest keys to the whole season. If they play well up front on both sides of the ball, this team has an opportunity to be really good, I think. But I thought those were the two big deals, was that both those guys have been cleared. They're 100% go, going to practice. But secondary to that, they are going to take some hits. They're going to take some collisions here in this fall camp. And then generally, and I think this was the case last year too, Aaron, I may have talked about this probably about this week of our interview session last year, is that I think there's a legitimate case that everybody in the Big Ten West can make that they are going to be better this year than they were last year. And that, to me, should make it an exciting race. Even Iowa, who won the division last year, I think they got to believe, look, if we get a little better quarterback play than we got last year, you know, they might, you know, who knows, they might make a run at a playoff position, you know. Or, you know, they were in the Big Ten title game last year, and had they won that, they might have been in the playoffs. And they didn't have very good quarterback play last year. If all of a sudden they have better quarterback play, they've got an opportunity now to be good. Minnesota and Wisconsin were kind of next in line, and I think they both feel they can be better. Wisconsin's not won the division now in, is it 3 years, I think, maybe two. But they've not won it 3 of the last 4 years. They've only had one. So I think that they feel they're better. And Minnesota, I think, feels that offensively they left some meat on the bone last year. And then you keep going down. Illinois, I keep going back to that Illinois loss that everyone wants to rip last year, and I've talked about it with you. That, to me, was not as bad of a loss as a lot of people thought. You go back and look at their season. They beat Nebraska to open the season. You know, Nebraska wasn't very good, but that's still a nice win. They won at Penn State. They won at Minnesota. They probably should have won at Iowa. They outgained them. They out-first downed them. They out-timed a possession them, but Iowa did what they do, and they got a kickoff return for a touchdown and an interception return for a touchdown, and they won by 10 points. And then they put 47 on Northwestern in the last game of the year, did Illinois, and they were a game out of being bowl eligible. So, you know, that team certainly feels like they're having some positive momentum. There's no question. And then you'll go on down. Northwestern was terrible last year, so they have nowhere to go but up. And Purdue might be the dark horse pick to win the whole deal in terms of the Western Division, because they play the weakest schedule. They don't have Michigan, Ohio State, or Michigan State on the schedule, and most of their tough games are home. Their toughest game might be a road trip to Minnesota. So, you know, they have to like what they've got. They probably have the best returning quarterback in the division. So I would say those are the big storylines. Minnesota's two running backs are full go. They're going to be practicing, taking collisions. And everybody in the West thinks they're going to be better than they were last year, which should make for a real fun race, I think, in that division.
Now, Mike, and maybe I just saw this, maybe it was clickbait online. Has there been talk about realigning the divisions, the West and the East, when it comes to Big Ten football? Because anyone that follows the Big Ten Conference knows that the East, I mean, they got, again, you mentioned the teams, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. They got the blue bloods when it comes to football. Has there been any discussion with maybe swapping a few teams here or there? Not saying that the West is the weaker of the two division, but again, when you have that much powerhouse or that many powerhouses on one side, I could see where the East would say, hey, we need to even out the playing field maybe just a little.
Yeah, well, yeah, the answer is yes. They're thinking about just doing away with divisions altogether. It would be like basketball. You basically play a schedule, and the team with the top two records would play in the conference championship game. The SEC just voted to do that. So that's what the SEC will do. They do not have divisions. They do have some protected rivals, and I'm sure that's what the Big Ten will do if and when it comes time to vote on that. But the addition of USC and UCLA – and, you know, the short-term and long-term future of the league in terms of continued expansion, I think they're going to put the division discussion on hold until they get a firm idea of kind of where they're going to be, you know, in terms of if you have 20 teams, it's going to be hard just to, you know, you're going to have divisions at a minimum, I would think, and probably pods, you know, to come up with some sort of an equitable way of getting teams into the, you know, because if you have 20 teams and you play nine games, you're not even playing half the teams. How are you going to, you know, be fair and equitable, where if you played everybody in a division, kind of like the NFL model, you win your division, you make the postseason, there would be some sort of of situation that way. So, yes, what you saw is right. My hunch is that they will wait to see where they go in terms of further expansion. You know, it will be 16 minimum in 2024. My hunch is it'll be 20 minimum in 2024 or 2026 for sure. Some of it will be dependent on the playoffs. You know, will that expand and what will teams do to get access to the playoffs? Notre Dame is the trump card right now. Everyone's kind of waiting on them, and we'll see where it goes. But, yeah, I think had there not been the UCLA-USC deal, the Big Ten would have been voting to eliminate divisions altogether probably for the 2023 season. But I maybe they will, but I don't think they will with 16. I just, you know, I don't know how they can do that, but you know, because when you're at 16, all of a sudden you're, you know, you play nine conference games. You got seven teams you haven't played.
Yeah.
You know, basically. Or I guess it'd be six because they don't, you don't count yourself. But anyway, you get the point. So I think at the moment they're going to stay with the divisions, and that's good. That's better for the Gophers. There's no doubt about that.
Again, Gopher Camp, it kicked off today. Mike Grimm, the voice of Golden Gopher Sports and sports director, Minnesota News Network, joins us for our usual Monday conversation. And speaking of camp, the Vikings kicked off a training camp last week. And Mike, you said you got to spend at least a day up in Eagan yesterday, or not yesterday, but last week?
Yeah, I didn't go to Eagan. Friday they practiced at U.S. Bank Stadium, so I went over to that practice and watched them work out. It was fun to be down on the field and watch the drills and see kind of the you know, the vibe and the atmosphere, and I thought it seemed like it was a fairly upbeat, you know, it was pads kind of deal. They were in shells, as they say, and so I thought it was good. I thought it was good. Thielen talked to reporters afterwards, and he seemed upbeat. The same day that Jared Allen came and spoke to the team, and then they surprised him and told him just after he talked to the team that he would be inducted into the team's Ring of Honor in October. So that was kind of cool to see all that go as well. And it's just, as you know, you're down at the field level often during the games. It's just, it's kind of good just to be on that field and just get a feel for it. And it's just an incredible stadium. You know, every place has its quirks. That one does. But by and large, man, that's just a great place to have an NFL football game, that's for sure.
Absolutely. We had a work meeting this morning, and someone mentioned to me or asked me, that, are you going up to training camp? And I said, no. I go, I haven't been to training camp for years, and they just figured with me being the big sports guy that I am. And then I played the G card, and I just said, well, you know, I run flags for the Minnesota Vikings, so I get to see the guys up close and personal, you know, nine Sundays plus playoffs a year, so I'm good.
No doubt. Yeah, you don't need to fight all the traffic and everything. And for those that aren't big time like you and get to run flags, it is a cool thing to go see. And I'm sure there are a lot of folks in your area that will make a day of it at some point here in the next couple of weeks. And I'll probably be out there a time or two this week as well, out to Eagan, just to, you know, get some audio and see what the vibe is and what's going on out there.
Mike Grimm, Monday here on Kate Radio. And Mike, a big day tomorrow for a Major League Baseball, the trade deadline. And I was talking to some of my friends yesterday about this, and I think I've said this on the air maybe a couple of times. Any of the teams in the Central, again, the Twins lead down to a one over Cleveland, the White Sox a couple of games back, I truly believe that none of these teams are going to make huge moves, and I know it's going to upset Twins fans. It's going to upset me as a White Sox fan. But the bottom line is, when you make moves, if you bring in a big-name pitcher or a big bat and you give up prospects, you do it because you want to win the whole thing. And I think the Twins, and maybe we've talked about this before, I think the Twins, the Guardians, and the White Sox are all two, three, maybe four moves away from being teams that can compete with the Yankees and the Astros. So I would be, I mean, they're going to make some moves, but I would be shocked if any of those three teams in the Central make any kind of, you know, big move on a big name where they're giving up, you know, another big name guy and some prospects.
I agree with that. I think part of the problem is there's just not that many. First of all, there's not as many teams in the pool with which you can trade with, because They added a couple playoff teams, and so a lot of teams that are kind of on the verge. The Red Sox, for example, what are they going to do? The Giants, if this was 5 years ago, they'd be trading probably their pending free agents and a bullpen guy here or whatever. But they're kind of hanging around that playoff marker, and so what message does it send to your fans if you have a sell-off there, especially in big markets where you have big money coming in? And so I think particularly starting pitching, there's just not a lot of starting pitchers out there available, and that's going to make the cost probably too high for the Twins, and I fall in line with that. That said, I you know me, I've talked about this before. I am a believer in making the tournament, getting in. I mean, you look at the team that won it last year, the Atlanta Braves. They were 51-53 last year. 51-53. They went out and they got Eddie Rosario. Remember? And everyone thought, Eddie Rosario, they got him from Cleveland. And he basically carried them into the World Series. You just never know.
Yep,
that's my point. Right? I mean, obviously they had some good players. They had Freddie Freeman and others. But it was Rosario was really the key to that. And they kind of got him for nothing. They just made a move to make a move. And the next thing you know, they're hanging a banner. So I've always said, look, give yourself a chance. I hear people say, trade Carrera or Correa. They're not going to win it. And I'm like, man, what if the Braves said that last year? I was in St. Louis in 06. They were terrible for much of the year. I mean, there was discussion they'd have a trade-off. And they went and got Jeff Weaver from the Angels, who was just kind of a middle-of-the-road guy at that time. And he got hot. And they won the World Series. Same thing in 11. I mean, in 11, the Cardinals had to win like 11 straight games late to win it. And so sometimes teams that aren't, I mean, the Yankees have not won it in 14 years, right? Am I wrong? I think I'm right on that.
The last it's around
time
there,
they won
yeah.
it all was 2009, And so if it's the idea that we got to chase the Yankees, well, the Yankees haven't exactly been hanging banners at a regular pace here. It's been the Nationals. Remember, the Nationals were like 15 under 500 a few years ago, and they got hot and made a trade, and next thing you know, they're winning. So now I get it. Twins fans are like, yeah, but that never works for us, and I understand that. But you never know when – I mean, the Braves have had a bigger drought than the Twins in regard to – I mean, not a World Series drought, but just in regard to how many divisions had they won over the years and never won it. And now they got a win last year, and they didn't give up at 51. I think it was 51-53 I read that last year this week they were 2 under .500. And you just make a dumb trade with Cleveland to get Eddie Rosario, the former Twin. And we've seen Eddie before. He's carried the Twins, for 2 weeks at a stretch, and he got hot at the right time. And the next thing you know, Atlanta is the world champion. So I'm still in the belief that they should add some people. If bullpen help, yes. I think starting pitching is probably too expensive, but I do think they've got, depending on some of these injured guys, Winder and Ober, and look, they're not seasoned in October. I get it. But again, you just never know. You just never know. And I think you got to get into the tournament and see where it takes you and who knows what happens.
Mike, I think the trade deadline is going to be, I don't want to say quiet, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of trades that are going to kind of rock baseball, because with the extra wild card team, there's so many teams that are still in the race. I mean, most of Major League Baseball is still in the race. So when it comes to buyers and sellers, you have so few sellers compared to buyers that I just don't see this being, again, a very active trade deadline. I could be wrong, but again, there's so many teams that are still in the hunt. And like you mentioned, just get in the tournament. And if they're saying the same thing, hey, we just want to get in the tournament, there's going to be a lot less, guys that are on the trade block. So it could be quiet tomorrow, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Or even tonight, we could still see action today. Who knows? But I think you're probably right. You're right with that added, couple of teams, and you want to send the right message. And then also you look at a team like the Angels, like they're out of it. They have no chance. But they're not trading Mike Trout, right? They're not trading. I don't think they're trading Ohtani, although that has been discussed. And to me, that is a real interesting one, because if you trade for Ohtani, think about this. I thought about this last night just in my dreams about the Minnesota Twins. You think about it, if you traded for Ohtani, if you're the Twins, you have filled a spot on your starting pitching staff with an ace and a DH who can hit the ball over the fence on a consistent basis in the lineup that will help. It's almost like trading for two guys, because he DHs on the days he doesn't pitch. And he's a factor in the lineup, right? And he's an ace, you know? So, like, people are saying, well, the Angels are asking for four, anybody has to give up four of their top six prospects. Now, I don't think I'd do that if I were the Twins, and I don't even know who the four top prospects are. But I understand why that's the asking price, because you're not just getting, you know, like if tomorrow the Twins trade for a really good hitter and an ace pitcher, and the really good hitter took two prospects and the really good pitcher took two prospects, you give up four and you got two players, you'd say, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But what if you give up four for one guy that gives you the same thing, right? as weird as that sounds, I don't think that that's going to happen, but you know, I dream about that a little bit, because that would be an unbelievable trade for somebody, whether it's the Twins or somebody else, because Ohtani becomes a free agent after next season. So you would still have him next year as well, and who knows, you could maybe work out a deal. I don't know if the Twins are willing to dive into that pool, but he's still under team control for next year. So I don't know if you give up, and I don't know who the prospects would be. I suppose Miranda would be in there in terms of your top prospects. Maybe a Kirilloff, you know, if those guys are still considered prospects now that they're up, you know, contributing at the big league level. But that would be an interesting one. But the Angels aren't trading probably either of those guys. Soto is obviously the top guy right now that is clearly available, right? I mean, there's the Nationals have made no doubt about that. And I honestly don't think he fits a particular need for the Twins. They have plenty of outfielders. Unless you'd include, you know, unless you package some of the outfielders they have in a deal, but I also don't see the Twins paying $450 million because that whoever trades for him is probably going to need to commit to a long-term deal with Soto. Otherwise, you're not going to give up, you know, that kind of prospect pool with which what the Nationals are asking. So I think what you said, what we just said, probably leads to a relatively quiet trade deadline. I don't think there's any doubt the Twins are going to have to add a couple of relievers. There's, you know, just to show the rest of the club that you're ready to go. And relievers come at a less price, you know, a smaller price. And so I think at a minimum they got to do that and just hope that it's not, what was the guy, Sam Dyson, that they traded for and then he showed up 2 days. 2 days later, they said he can't pitch ever again, which was a ridiculous trade to make. But anyway, I think they got to get a couple of relievers anyway here.
Four prospects for Ohtani. That's it. You know, I was thinking it'd be like half the infield, three relievers, two beer men, Corey Provis, the voice of Minnesota Twins baseball, maybe a few buckets of balls to get to Shohei Ohtani.
If you have to trade Provis, we're pulling the plug. We got to keep Corey here.
We got to keep Corey. I know.
But the article I read said that that they would want the four top prospects in your farm system, and maybe they meant that's the start of the conversation.
Okay.
But it would be tempting, honestly, to me. Like if, you know, I'm just throwing names out there. If the top four might be Royce Lewis, Jose Miranda, Bailey Ober, and somebody else. I might do that. I really might. I might say, you know,
absolutely.
What, we just drafted a shortstop number one in the, you know, in the draft. Who knows, you know? And but I don't think the Angels would probably settle for that. They probably feel they need a bigger package than that. And the Twins probably wouldn't be willing. They might not be willing to do those guys alone, let alone add to it. You know, unless you're sending, you know, look, if somehow you could package a Max Kepler into a deal, Max has got some value, but he's getting a little on the older side too. He's major league, you know, he's obviously a major league player. If that adds value and that's what gets the deal done, I'd be okay with, you know, throwing in one of those outfielders, you know, but I I'm not a GM and I don't know what the phone conversations have been like. And I don't even know if Ohtani, you know, this was a purely a speculative discussion that we had here, whether, you know, just how eager the Angels are to trade him.
Mike Grimm on a Mike Grimm Monday, the voice of Golden Gopher Athletics and, of course, a sports director of Minnesota News Network. Next week, we'll be able to break down if anything happened at the trade deadline for the Minnesota Twins. Mike, thank you so much. Like always, have a good week, and we'll do it again next week.
All right. Look forward to it. Always enjoyed, Aaron. Thank you.